First Peter 2 verse 9.
The Bible reads, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of whom who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
That, now the whole story starts with what? It starts with a but. All right, so we want to investigate why is it starting with a but. So we are going to go to the prior scriptures before that. So we are going to go from verse 6. Can you start from verse 6?
Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame.
Wow.
Therefore,
are you understanding the scripture? Whosoever what? So, therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means
be put to shame.
Verse 7.
Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, the stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed.
Okay, and a stone of what? Stumbling.
Yes.
And a rock of what?
Offense.
They stumble. Being disobedient to the word to which they also what?
Appointed.
They were also. So scripture is dealing with the two kinds of people. Now, this scripture is not for a people who were not chosen. They were also chosen. They are stumbling on the same thing they were told they are part of. Now, understand this? So God can give us a word that we are a Jesus nation, but amongst us, there could be some people who are actually stumbling with the same word. The same word could not be working on them. And they could be disobedient on the same word that God spoke. So God is saying, I gave you, I chose you, but some people amongst you are struggling with the very same word I spoke. Now, I want you to read again from verse 6. Just begin to read again. Therefore, it is also contained in scripture. Now, I want each one of us to hear. So in scripture, there was a prophecy which says, I am raising up, I am making Jesus to be the chief cornerstone, he who believe on him. So this was the birth of the nation which God had forespoken before time began. Because when you read the book of Genesis, which we are going to speak a little bit, God began to speak of the very same things. How God wants to have a nation, a people. Read verse 6. Just read it.
Verse number 6. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will be by no means be put to shame.
Did you see that? So, God's purpose was that the people, his people, should never be put to what?
Shame.
To shame. So shame is not for us. Shame is not for you. God, my ruka pahatika radia. God says, I lay a chief cornerstone on Mount Zion for the elect. Now, the word elect is not for everyone. It is for the chosen. Are you there?
Yes.
This is why when there are elections, it's not everybody who's what? Who's chosen? Who's elected? Are you understanding? So, for example, we have an organization and we want a chairperson. And now we choose here, we decide to say, we are going to have an election. We are going to choose a leader. We will not be leaders, all of us. Maybe one person will be elected. Now, that's the meaning of elect. So scripture calls you an elect. Now, I don't know how deep you are getting this. Scripture calls you what?
An elect.
An elect. Meaning, out of many, you are elected by the heaven's courts. Heaven sat down and looked upon you and said, this one is our person. So you are an elect. You are not just an ordinary person. There was an election. In that election, they decided that you should be part, oh my God, of the elect. This is why you are chosen. You are not just there. What a marvelous. Now go back to scripture. It says what? It says, let's go, let's read it. It says, therefore, it is also contained in the scripture.
Behold, I lay in Zion
a chief cornerstone.
Elect, precious,
and who believes on him will no means be put to what?
To shame.
Now let's go ahead. Then in verse 7, it says, therefore, to you who believe, he is what?
Precious.
But to those who are disobedient,
the stone which the builders rejected
has become the chief cornerstone. In verse 8, and a stone of stumbling. So God can put up a revelation. What God is trying to say here, he's talking about believing the chief cornerstone. He says, the ones who believe will never be put to shame. But then scripture continues, says, but to the disobedient, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient, not because they are not part of it. Being disobedient to the word to which they were what? Also appointed. So they were part of this. But what made them to be out? It is their disobedience to the word which was given to them. So God can give us the word. And the among us, some can actually take that word and some can disobey that word. So scripture says, to those who shall disobey, the same word shall become a what? A stumbling, an offense. Then verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen. That word chosen there is what I was talking about earlier. That the word chosen there is the same word elect. So scripture says, but you are a chosen, elected. Then scripture there, it says generation. Are you understanding? A royal priesthood. A holy nation. His own special people. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So scripture says you were called out of darkness. Not that you are living in darkness. You were called out. So if you are a Jesus nation, you are not supposed to operate in what? In darkness. Because you are called out of it to his holy nation. So now, let's understand the basis, because understanding the revelation of what God is saying in scripture, it is the most paramount thing. Do you understand what the scripture is saying? That some people will benefit and some people will not. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Some people what? And some people? Understand it. So what do we mean when we say the holy nation, the Jesus nation? This is not a name being branded to a church. This is a realistic revelation that God has given us. It is something that needs a deeper assimilation. What is an assimilation? An assimilation is the ability to absorb, adapt. And that's assimilation. So when you are dealing with an assimilation, whether at a company or an organization, if there's an assimilation, we mean that there is an environment where people are able to what? To observe, adapt, transform to the culture, to the behavior that is operating at that particular place. And failing to assimilate, it is what makes so many people fail to stay, behave, achieve the common purpose and goal. Because assimilation, it is where now all people are able to say, I'm going to leave my culture behind. At this work, this is the culture. So you are able to behave according to the culture of the organization in order to achieve what is supposed to be done in there. So what makes so many believers? So many believers do think when they are born again, they have achieved it. They are done. You are not. Let me tell you something. God had a plan. In his plan, in Genesis chapter 1, he said, let us make man in our what? So that was the plan. So the plan was the image after our what? Likeness. So God had image and what? And likeness. But you must hear what the Bible says. We must make man in our image and in what? Our likeness. Are we together?
Yes.
So, God, his purpose was to create someone who looks like him, who he would actually chat with. Are you understanding?
Yes.
So, God, in chapter 2, then God creates a man, verse 7. Now, God creates a man. After creating a man, and the word that he used there is the word bara, which means to form. Are you understanding? So there's a difference between creating and forming. Because when he said, let us create, but when it came for the time of creation, he formed. He didn't create. Because creativity, it is a picture. Formation, it is a material thing. Am I speaking to you? So you can create. That is why people who are creative, it does not mean they're able to make it. You can be creative and give your idea to someone who can translate it into reality. So, creation. God created a man and a woman in chapter 1 of Genesis, verse 26. The Bible says he created them, both male and female. All right? Now, up to verse 28. When you go to chapter 2, then God comes and forms. After forming a man, then he forms a woman out of the man. Are we together?
Yes.
Now, when God formed them, he puts them in a garden. And the scripture tells us how the garden was actually designed. It was designed with an ecosystem of sustainability. There was everything. The Bible speaks of the kind of God which was put in the garden. Am I talking to you?
Yes.
The kind of what?
God.
And the type of God which was put. God, I'm talking about God, which people are mining today. The Bible says God had put this type of God. And when you check it on the internet, it is the best God ever in the world. God puts that God in that garden. God puts diamonds. Scripture says God put diamonds in that garden. God puts every mineral, everything that you may name it. And then God puts up a farm, a garden with the fruits. So it tells you the design of God when he was bringing you on earth. He didn't bring you here to suffer.
Yeah.
Do you understand that the creation itself, God involved gold and diamonds and for Adam and Eve? So when people talk about the first billionaire on earth, in fact, the first trillionaire was Adam. Do you understand there was only one plot? And it was the earth. And do you know who owned it? Adam. Are you understanding? So let's go quickly. So God, when he was putting him, he didn't put him on earth. On the land, on the mountains. After creating the whole earth, then he created a garden. Then he puts him in the garden. Please, there's a huge difference between land and the garden. I think you know the difference. A garden is a garden. So I want you to have this picture. So many people think when God was putting him in Eden, it was just a bush. No, it wasn't. I want you to have this. It was already a cultivated garden. Then God put him in there, and the Bible says to cultivate it. Are you understanding? Then God put everything in that garden. All animals of the earth were there. He had no issues to eat a chicken. Because scripture says all the animals you see on earth, it's him who gave them names. He looks at you and they say, you're a chicken. And you became a chicken. The Bible says it is him who was naming them. It says you, the way you're looking, you're an elephant. And the Bible says, and it was so. Am I speaking to you? So this is the likeness of God. This is the image of God. This is how the design of God was on mankind. So the purpose of God's creation and formation of man was not just to worship. But he wanted somebody who can rule with him. I'm trying to talk to you. Are you understanding?
Yes.
Then man failed. Exactly of 2 Peter. Because of disobedience to the word. The Bible says this, Adam stumbled. And when he failed, he was kicked out and lost the image and likeness of God. And God said, from now you will suffer. Are you here?
Yes.
So now that nation that God had in mind, where God had a picture of a nation, which he created already, to say, I want this nation to be my nation, my people, to look like me, to behave like me, man lost it to disobedience. Are you there? Because God, from the book of Genesis, when you are doing theology and philosophy, you will learn something known as the choice of free will. Are you understanding? God gave us what? Free will. So God puts up a tree there and he says, I'm giving you a choice. It's up to you to eat it or not. Until today, he says, either choose death or choose life. So it is part of creation and God's identity where God allows people to have a choice. Because one may say, so if God is a good God, why did he create this? Why does God allow these things to happen? No, God gave us a what? A choice of evil or good. So scripture tells us, when man failed, God didn't stop there. God still planned to say, how will I rescue this generation that is lost? So we go to chapter 7. We find another plan where God said, now, I'm going to destroy every evil person. And I'll only maintain the righteous. So that a new nation can be what? Can be born again. So there was rain. And only one family survived. And whose family?
Noah.
So God was saying, oh, wow, so the people are evil. I'm going to remove everybody so that only one family should survive. And again, that family didn't obey. And God said, what must I do? Then God calls Abraham and says to Abraham, are you still here, right?
Yes.
Your children's children, out of them I'll raise up a nation. And it shall be my nation. But I will allow them to go to a foreign land. And now what happened? The Israelites, years later, went to Egypt. And when they were coming back from Egypt, they became a nation of God, called Israel. But when they went to Israel, they sinned again against God. And God said, what must I do? Seeing that they have sinned against me, what must I do? God decided to send Jesus to die for them. But when he came for them, they did not receive him. Then what did God do? God said, wow, I am going to allow those who believe. So when you read the Bible in John chapter 1, from John chapter 1, the Bible says he came for his own. But his own received him not. Are you understanding? So the primary reason Jesus Christ came was for his own. You must understand this, and nobody should lie to you. That's why we are saved by grace. You are a Gentile and you are saved. What a grace. Do you understand that Jesus Christ was praying for people and another woman came who was not from Israel and she came to be assisted and Jesus said, I don't give dogs. This food is for my children. I came to save the lost house of Israel. That is what Jesus Christ was saying. So he came to save his own because the plan was a nation that must fear God, a nation that must be displayed. And all the 96 prophecies in the Old Testament, they were pointing to a nation where God was saying, I shall make you a nation. You shall become an example of other nations. I shall raise you up. So there were prophecies about a nation. But his own received him not. Then God said, now, I will raise up a new nation. This nation will not be by a country. And this is Jesus himself saying. He said, now, they will no longer worship God in Jerusalem. But those who believe, he said, what? They shall seek the Father in spirit and in truth. He says, no longer saying God is in Israel. No longer God is no. He said, but those who worship the Father in what? The Father will seek such. So another nation now is born. This nation, whether you're a Jew or you're a Gentile, you are welcome. And this nation is the Jesus nation. A nation whose God is Christ. Now, understand this now. So, what is the purpose? So, God has this purpose to have a nation where he can talk to his people can talk to him. A nation that can rise up according to the prophecies that are given in Scripture. A nation that can rise up as the word says. A nation that can be as God wants this nation to be. God was saying to the people of Israel, he said to them, there are seven mountains when you go to Canaan that I want you to conquer. Remember those mountains?
Yes.
And each mountain, it has got a meaning. God said, I am calling you as a nation. But there are seven mountains that I want you to go and conquer. When you go to Canaan, there are seven mountains. Then the Hittites. God said, go and conquer it. Why? The Jebusites. Why did God say go and conquer them? Because these had taken over mountains of influence. Am I speaking to you? An economic hub was taken by another group of people who knew nothing about God. And God said, I want you to go and take over that. Because God understands there are people right now who are running economies and they're not his people. Am I speaking to you?
Oh, yes.
There are people right now who are running what? Economies and are not his people. So God says, go and take over. But God had a plan. And in his plan, he saw that there were seven areas which believers must go and what? And conquer them. Do you understand that the people in the world who are understanding economy more than people in the church? Do you understand that? And it's an error. Let me tell you something. It's an error. Because we are God's people. And we are supposed to read what's happening in the finance. We're supposed to understand the markets prophetically. Like Joseph. Who would read the markets and know when to invest and when not to invest. What type of an investment? And he went into the markets and introduced a real estate and bought land from the people of Egypt. Oh, you're not even understanding. He became an asset manager. My God. For the king of Egypt. That he managed to buy everything in Egypt. Until people had nothing to sell. And they even said, the only thing we can now sell is ourselves. What kind of strategy did Joseph use in Egypt? That he managed to buy everything, every land, every piece of land. He bought it. And people said, now we have got animals. Says, okay, now we are putting up a model how we can actually trade in livestock. And he began to buy the animals. Animals. He bought everything. People said, now we have nothing to sell. Can you buy us also? Imagine if you can understand the markets in that level. The man was able to understand the markets. He was able to read. But what's happening with the church? And when you read the Bible, he said, O king, for I sought the Lord. Him. Whatever he was doing, it was the wisdom from God. Am I talking to you? But how many today are praying to God for such understanding to say, God, can I understand? I am into marketing. Can I understand the marketing sector? I am into logistics. I am praying to understand, to read the markets, to know when to invest and not when to invest. People are just going by the trends. People are doing crypto. I'm also doing crypto. I've also put mine. Then tomorrow you're crying. Yeah. Yeah. I put it also, and now you're crying now. Oh, the market have crashed. Because you do not know when to invest. No prayer, no prophetic intelligence. That's not a nation that God is raising. God wants us to be a people that can understand. Am I talking to somebody right here? People who can understand what's happening in the world. What is happening in economies. What is taking place. We must study them. That's why God said before going to conquer them, God sent people to spy. So they went to spy. They understood their trading tactics. They understood their farming tactics. They even took some of their fruits. But what's happening in the church today? We're just praying. We are praying for a breakthrough. Shaka ya ba 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 ba. Door open, door open, door open, door. You don't even know what type of door you're talking about. Door open, door, door, door open now, door open. What door? I don't know. Door open, door, door open, door. Meanwhile, your spiritual father who's praying for you, he's in a prayer room. Father, show me a strategy. Show me a strategy. And I pray first day, no strategy. Second day, no strategy. Read your Bible. It took 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego praying for a strategy. Not for a door to open, but for a strategy. What shall we do? How can we handle this matter? According to this matter, the Bible says, so we sought the Lord. Praying for strategy, pray for interpretation to understand the vision. To understand the vision. But do we pray like that? Just pray. We are praying. We are now praying for. It's day number two. I'm fasting. This door must open. What door? You have no any door. Fire. Now I'm commanding fire. No. You need to understand, because you have a beauty, whether you've got a saloon or whatever it is, you need wisdom. God should show you where to put it. What approach do you use? And in fact, it will not come like an angel coming in your room and say, "Hey, my daughter Miriam." Miriam, you. My daughter Miriam. move your saloon here. No, it won't come like that. God would drop the idea in your thinking, in your planning, the way you are planning in your room. Those plans you are doing, they will not be you planning. God will take over them. Your new approach to the markets, your new strategy, it shall no longer be you. This is the Jesus nation we are talking about. See? But the people now are still behaving like normal people, like, I'm doing this. And God is like, but you see, that's what scripture says. Some of you in the same nation are stumbling. And the some will no longer be put to what? To shame. So it is about how are we approaching life. We have a prophecy. God said, go and conquer the Jebusites, which represents what? Families. Families, this was a place where they believed so much in marriages. And God said, conquer that mountain. They believed so much what? Their culture was so rooted in marriages, yet they were worshipping idols. And God said, take over that mountain. Because God is trying to establish what? Prophetic homes. Prophetic families. God had a problem with it. He said, go and take over. So when we are talking about the Jesus nation, it's not just a talk. It is a prophecy fulfilled, manifested by those who believe. So when we are saying we are in a week of the Jesus nation, we are not just saying it, but it is something that God spoke. We have to take over. Your amen is not even amen. Say, I am a Jesus nation.
I am a
chosen generation.
From a royal priesthood.
I can never be defeated. Say,
so submit my plans
to the Lord Almighty.
All my thoughts,
all my strategies
will be coming from the Spirit.
Say, from now,
let my plans be from God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're supposed to completely take over. Completely.
Not, I have started something and it's closing now. Why are there so much competition?
Who competes with a prophetic person?
Who competes with you and win?
You see, the problem is so many believers are using trends on TikTok.
Today, market affiliates. Tomorrow, stock. The other week, crypto. The other month, forex trading.
Not because God said it, but because it's a trend. People are saying, oh, now we're making money here. I'm also putting my money.
Do you understand? When your plans are laid by God, you see what scripture says? It says, the Lord is what? My shepherd. It doesn't stop there. I see so many people quoting it. It doesn't stop there. It says, he leads me. He leads me. God should lead you to a breakthrough. God should lead you to a strategy. God should lead you to a plan. Say, he leads me. And he makes me lie down. Do you know what it means to lie down? To concentrate. To focus. There are things you should not put your effort. There are things you shouldn't even focus on them. But you are focusing on them right now. And that's why you are crying. There are things God wants you to focus on, to lie down on those things. He must make you lie down on them. What project must I do? What career must I focus? What is it that my children should do? This is when God is in control. Somebody shout, I'm a Jesus nation. Amen.